Psalms chapter 116. The Bible says in verse number 1, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Let me read that one more time. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. I want to preach just for a little while this morning on a couple reasons why I love the Lord. Amen. And I hope every one of you here today can say the same thing, that I love the Lord with all my heart. Oh, how I love Jesus. That's what the song we just sang just a second ago. And I hope down deep inside you can say, I love the Lord with all my heart. Psalms chapter 116, we see there that David began to write, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Now, David wrote that because he had been through some things in his life. Amen? I mean, you just don't come to love something or someone because I love them. You know what I mean? We have a lot of teenagers and a lot of kids running around today that say, I love you, and we use that so loosely. And we say, I love this girl, this boy, whatever, and we use that term and terminology in a loose manner. But David here had been through some things in his life, and he said, I love the Lord because, amen? He had been through some things in his life. Number one, I see that David had been through David had to make a decision, amen? He had a radical decision that he had to make. In 2 Samuel 6:14, we see there that David had to make the decision to praise the Lord, to dance before the Lord, despite of the consequences that he would with his wife. He would see there later on that David began to make that decision to praise the Lord despite of what his wife thought. Amen? We see that Michael began to say there that she made a decision, said, you're embarrassing me. Amen? You're embarrassing me. You ought not to act like that in the presence of God's people. Amen? Sometimes, I believe David got a case of the can't help it, amen, and began to praise the Lord with all that he had. David made a radical decision to praise the Lord. Not only that, we see that David had a raging affair in 2 Samuel chapter 11. We see that he made a decision to look upon Bathsheba, and then he suffered the consequences because of that. David had been through some things in his life. And we see there not only the radical decision that he had to make, the raging affair, but also we see in 2 Samuel chapter 15 the reckless son that he had, in Absalom. And Absalom began to say to the men, they began to pull the armies aside and say, follow me, don't follow after my father David. He began to say to come after and follow me and my army. We see that Absalom began to live a reckless life, and his reckless life led to a reckless death. Amen. And he began, we see that his hair got caught in a tree and hung himself. Amen? Are you with me this morning? Say amen. I'm here to tell you today that what decisions you make today, you'll suffer the consequences for tomorrow. Amen? The sin that you have in your life today, you'll suffer for, not maybe today, not maybe tomorrow, not maybe next year, but one day down the road, your sin will find you out. Absalom suffered the consequences because of that. Absalom gave his father many different headaches and sufferings upon his life. We see that Absalom eventually led to death because of what he did. Not only a reckless son, the radical decisions that he made, the raging affair, but also a rebellious nation, also in 2 Samuel 15. We see that the nation turned sides against David. David felt like he was all alone. He felt like that he had lived his life and everything that he did was turning back on him again. We see later on in that chapter, in Psalms chapter 114, he said that all men are liars. Every man that you can imagine was a liar. He said, everything that I put my trust in has let me down. And David lived a life that was pleasing unto God, but he made some wrong decisions. Through all of those things that David did in his life, whether it be praising God or making a sinful choice or doing the wrong things, David was still a man after God's own heart, the Bible said. I'm here to tell you today that God gives us a second chance no matter what we do. Amen? I've got a message that I preach called Another Second Chance. Amen? Another second chance. It's just not one second chance. But a lot of times God gives us another second chance to make the right decision so that we may go forward for God. David was still a man after God's own heart. You just don't come to love something because of just a simple spending time with. It comes over a process of time, whether you're married or whatever. You grow to love more and more each and every day. And David reached that point in his life. He said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. We see that David began to love the Lord with all that he had. I want to see, first of all, point number one, the depths from which he heard my cry. Amen. He heard my cry. Verse number two, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. He was in a low place in his life. David found there in his life that day that he could rely on the Lord because he had heard his voice. Thank God for that. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Say amen. I'm telling you what, we've got to learn how in our life to love the Lord with all that we have. David had been through some things. That song that they sang last night, the cost of the call. When you're in the ministry or when you're living your Christian life, you go through things in your life. And there's times when you feel like you pray and God's not answering your prayer. And you feel like there's times whenever you talk to someone or somebody about the certain circumstance that you're going through and they can't help you with it. My pastor, just a few months ago, was on a Wednesday night. We had a wonderful service. And I mean, it got good. I'm telling you what, we even though it's at the beach of North Carolina, amen, we still know how to go to church every once in a while, amen. And there on Wednesday night, we had a wonderful service, wonderful prayer meeting there. And I never forget it. I haven't sang it since, but a song that God gave me that I wrote called God, You're Great and God, You're Good. And we began to, what a wonderful service that we had that night. And we went home, and I remember talking to the youth group and all those things. And I got a phone call the next morning on Thursday morning about 8:45 that said, can you get over to the preacher's house as quick as you can? The pastor's son has died in his sleep. And that shocked me. I just talked to him the night before, 18 years old. Just talked to him the night before about making the right choices and he had just gotten saved and how he had changed his life and things began to happen for the good because he was serving God. I'm here to tell you today, if you turn your life over to him, your life will turn around and you will see a change in your life. Amen? So he began, while I was talking to him that night, I noticed that his phone began to ring and things like that. And he was getting sidetracked, and one of his old partying buddies was calling him up saying, saying, you need to come out, hang with us. We're going to get our high on tonight. We're going to do this. We're going to party it up good. And he said, no, I don't have time for you. My life's changed. I remember hearing him say that. There, that morning, on Thursday morning, everybody's world in that community, in that area, was flipped upside down. He went home to be with Jesus that day. I don't understand that. I mean, when you lose a loved one, when you lose a friend, when you lose someone that's close to you, you don't understand that. My pastor told me the other day, he said, there's been times when I've talked to people to try to get help that I don't feel like that I can get any help. He said, but I know that when I pray, even though that I don't feel a change sometimes, God still hears my prayer. There's a lowly place that we get in our life when you feel like that nothing or no one can help you for that situation. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus can. Jesus can take your life, no matter if you're going through sorrow or despair or a certain discouragement in your life. God can give you encouragement, and you can go on and serve Jesus with all that you have. It was a lowly place, the depths from which he heard my cry. Not only that, but the distance that he came. Verse number 6, we see. Verse number 6. I think I lost my place. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Amen? We see there that it was a lowly place. The distance that he came to that place where we could not get ourselves back to that position. He had to reach down further than I could reach up and pull me up on the solid rock and establish my goings and put a new song in my mouth. Praise God. He has brought us up from that lowly place. And he reached us where we could not reach him. The distance that he came. I'm here to tell you today that if you feel like in your life, you say, I can't serve the Lord. I'm too wicked to serve the Lord. God can't forgive me for that sin that I had in my life. You think that God can help me? Yes, I'm here to tell you he can. God can change your life. The distance that he came. Aren't you glad that no matter the past that you had, no matter if you were involved in drugs or in alcohol or sex, perversion, whatever it is in your life, God can reach down further in your life that you can reach to him, and he can establish your goings and set you aside for the work of the Lord. There have been many of you in here in this place that you've been brought from a past of what I just mentioned. You've been brought from a certain place in your life that God has really changed your life. And I think today you ought to praise him and you ought to thank him for that because of the distance that he came and picked you up when you could not reach him. Not only the distance that he came and the depths from which he heard my cry, but also we see there in verse number 16, the Bible says, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Not only those things that I just mentioned, but the debt that he canceled. I owed a sin debt that I could not pay. I was bound by sin. I was held down by my circumstances, but the Lord has loosed my bonds. Thank God for that. He has brought me from a place, but not only that, he set me free from my circumstances and my sin problem. Amen? We have been set free this morning. We've been loosed to serve God. We've been loosed from the oppression of sin. We've been set free from those things in our life. We ought to love the Lord for that this morning. We ought to praise God for that this morning. Amen? We ought to thank him for just a little while because of the debt that he canceled in our life. Amen. The debt that he's canceled. There's a story about a slave in 1865. She was out in the field one day plowing with everyone in the cotton fields She was working as hard as she could for her master, trying to get the things done that day that they needed to get done. The master was off in town, and she began to hear the sound of the ringing of the bell saying to come in for a meeting. And she looked, and she looked at the son and said, you know, it's not time for our weekly meeting. It's not the right day, and this just might be a mistake that was made. She heard that bell one more time about 10 minutes later. And she came out to the people in the field and said, I think they're calling us for a meeting. We should go and see what's going on. So they all left and went to that community center that was in the plantation there where they had their meetings. And she said that she remembers walking in, and there on the platform sat a well-dressed man with city clothes on, with a tall hat. And she said, this guy must have sold us off to go somewhere else. That slave said that she remembers the guy that day saying, do you guys know, you fellas know what you're here for? Do you know why that you are brought in for this meeting today for such a time as this? They said, in their minds, they just said, oh, we're going to be sold off. That's all there is to it. So, she said that she began to look at everyone that was gathered around and how the excitement was, because some of them were ready to go off anyway. They were ready to run off. It was just time to leave. And the slave said that she saw there that day that man stand up, and he had a letter, and he said, today, Declaration of the United States of America, you've been set free. No longer do you have to serve your master. No longer do you have to serve his wife. No longer do you have to serve the slave driver. No more will you be sold off to go to another plantation to work. You've been set free. She said there that day that they laughed about it, thinking it was a joke. And he said, no, I'm here to tell you, you've been loosed. You're as free as your master. You're as free as the white folk. You're as free as everyone in this country. You've been set free. And so they remember, said she walked out there, everybody was rejoicing and happy and feeling a relief of no longer having to be in slavery. And so she went to her master that day and said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do now that we're set free? How are we going to respond to this? And he said, do whatever you want to do. I don't care. I don't have any control over it. You're free now. Aren't you glad we've been set free this morning? You know what she began to do? They said because they didn't know any other thing but to serve the master, they started serving him because they loved him. Huh? They started serving him, not because of obligation, but because they love the master. There comes a time in our life when we feel like coming to church is just a normal routine. Coming to church is just another thing that we do. But I'm here to tell you today that we are not in here by obligation, but we're here because we love the Lord. Amen? We've been set free. No longer are we bound by sin. We have been loosed. Our bonds have been broken. We're set free from the past of sin. We're set free from the presence of sin. We're not bound by any of those things. This morning, if you're here in this place and you say, Brother Nathaniel, I don't know what you're talking about being set free. You can be today. Jesus Christ has come to set you free. By accepting him into your life as personal Lord and Savior, I'm here to tell you today, your life won't be the same because of Calvary. Because of the shed blood of Calvary, we're not going to be the same in our life. We've been loosed. Our debt's been canceled. I've been set free. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. Thank God I've been set free in my life. I'm free from the fear of my past. I've traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free. Praise the Lord. I'm free at last. You can be set free today. That's just a couple reasons why I love the Lord. Why do you love Him today? Why do you love Him? Search your heart this morning. I'm here to tell you today that if you don't know how to love Him, or you've never experienced Jesus Christ in your life, He'll set you free.